You are listening to episode 12 of Ask the Pastor. I'm your host, Nick Drake. I'm the pastor of Richland Baptist Church in Kingdom City, Missouri. Today's question is, what does the Bible say about death? Can we or someone else save our earthly life, or does a time to be born and a time to die really mean just that, and we have no control over either? Well, I want to start by reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, because that's the verse that's referred to in the question. Specifically, I want to read the first 8 verses of Ecclesiastes 3 to get the context of this statement, a time to be born and a time to die. Ecclesiastes 3, starting in verse 1, there is an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to avoid embracing, a time to search and a time to count as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Simply put, as we see Solomon making the case here in Ecclesiastes, time is a mystery. We often don't know the when, the where, the whys of life. And so there's a time for everything, but it's often a mystery. Of course, God knows. It's not a mystery to God. It's a mystery to us. We're not God, and we don't fully understand time. We're limited by time. We're often scared of time. We're controlled by time. But think about how we see the sovereign hand of God throughout this passage, and yet verses 1 through 8 are emphasizing the plans and the pleasures of mankind. So we see God's sovereign hand, and yet we also see the plans of man. There is a freedom that God has given us in the midst of the time that he controls, a time for every activity under heaven. Now think about it, for example, in the context when pertaining to life and death, since that's the question being asked. God gives and God takes away. And yet he allows us oftentimes to have a say in both. We can choose to have children, and we can also choose to take a life. We can choose to heal, and we can choose to destroy. So to a degree, I suppose my answer to the question that is asked is yes and no. Yes, we have a say. No, I wouldn't say that we have no control over either. But also, God is the one who is ultimately in control. His sovereign control is over all things, including life and death, and yet he has given us the freedom to act in such a way that those things are affected, including life and death, affected by our actions. I want to read a few different verses and talk about them just to kind of apply what we're talking about here. Isaiah 53, for example, Isaiah 53 verse 10 says this in the prophecy about our Lord Jesus Christ's death. He said, "Yet the Lord was pleased to crush him severely. When you make him a restitution offering, he will see his seed. He will prolong his days, and by his hand, the Lord's pleasure will be accomplished." So does that mean that there is no human responsibility? It says the Lord was pleased to crush the Messiah severely. So does that mean there's no human responsibility? Of course not. There is still human responsibility. We see this in an applied verse or a related verse, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 and 8. We speak God's wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Or another related verse, Acts chapter 2, verse 23 says this, "Though he was delivered up according to God's determined plan and foreknowledge, you used lawless people to nail him to a cross and kill him." So there was this accusation against the Jews in Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, talking about how they used the Romans to kill Jesus. And then a little bit later in verse 36, it says, "Let all the house of Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." So who has control over death? We see that God determined that Jesus would be crucified, and yet we also see that mankind is held responsible for Jesus' death on the cross. So who has control over death? Well, there is a real tension between God's sovereignty and human responsibility, between God's predestined plan and our ability to choose between right and wrong. Let's be very clear, both are true. And the Bible is okay with that because God is okay with that. We can't comprehend it with our finite minds, but God is over everything and is surprised by nothing. Do you remember the story of Joseph in Genesis? How does that story address this issue? His brothers tried to get rid of Joseph. They thought he was dead, but God had another plan. And at the end of the story, Joseph says to his brothers, "You planned evil against me. God planned it for good to bring about the present result, the survival of many people." Or what about the story of Esther and Mordecai? There is no earthly way that Esther, Mordecai, and the Jews should have survived powerful Haman's evil plot to destroy them. There's no way that a Jewish orphan adopted by her Jewish cousin should have become the queen of the Persian Empire. But it happened. There was no way that the weak Jewish people should have been delivered from their powerful evil enemies, but they were. Haman wanted to hang Mordecai and slaughter the Jews, but it was Haman who was hanged in the very gallows he had built to murder Mordecai. And it was Mordecai who became the second most powerful man in the Persian Empire. Esther chapter 8, verse 17 says, "And many of the ethnic groups of the land professed themselves to be Jews because fear of the Jews had overcome them." So what does all this mean, especially in regards to death, this question of death? The reality is that God is always in control and his plans will be accomplished. But you have to be careful when thinking about this that you don't think that means God always protects physically in this life, those who walk with him. We've already read about Jesus and how God planned for Jesus to be crushed, to be crucified. And Jesus himself said that we as his followers should expect the same treatment he was to receive. And we could spend days discussing scriptures that promise that we will be persecuted and even killed on account of our faith. It happened to the prophets of the Old Testament. It happened to Jesus' disciples. It happened to the Christians in the early church, just like Jesus said it would. As you read through the book of Acts, as you read through Paul's letters, as you read through the New Testament, you see it over and over and over again. And it has continued to happen all over the world and will continue to happen until Jesus returns. 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul said to Timothy and to the church, "In fact, all those who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Yes, God allows and even ordains such things. But also, yes, people choose to do evil and will be held accountable. So again, the short answer, or maybe the recap answer to this question about death is that yes, God is in control. But at the same time, we are responsible and we play a role. And there's a tension between God's sovereignty and our responsibility, between God's control and our free will. There's a tension between those two things that the Bible teaches both. And so we have to trust God's plan, and we have to pray for wisdom to be faithful to live the lives that he's called us to live. And the only way we can know to do such is by looking to his word and trusting in him to change us and work through us. Thanks for listening today.